Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we may not like it, but the Obamacare health insurance exchanges are in some real trouble. It doesn't mean they're collapsing or in a death spiral, as the professional naysayers like to put it, but the model is not working as planned so far to draw in enough younger, healthier insurance buyers to provide all buyers with robust insurance at stable, reasonable prices, with lots of choice of insurance companies and doctors. As has been widely reported, Aetna is pulling out of the exchanges now in 11 of its 15 states. United Health is going down to just 3 states out of its original 34. One local example is Oscar Health Insurance, a startup created specifically because of the opportunity that Obamacare exchanges seem to offer. Oscar has marketed itself as a new kind of consumer-friendly insurance company for the digital age, starting out in New York, New Jersey, and I believe just 2 other states, but it's already leaving the New Jersey exchanges. Oscar becomes the 3rd company to either leave or cancel plans to expand in New Jersey, and Oscar sent a letter to its New York customers recently announcing serious cutbacks in its network of providers. It's typical of what's taking place in the market as a whole. Premiums are going up, too, as the insurance companies struggle with too few young, healthy, profitable buyers and too many older, sicker, expensive ones. What's happening to Obamacare? Is it sustainable? What are some possible fixes? With me now is the CEO of Oscar, Mario Schlosser. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you. It's a great honor to be here.
And Elizabeth Benjamin, Vice President for Health Initiatives at the New York Community Service Society. She's both a policy advocate and an on-the-ground navigator who advises individuals on their New York State Affordable Care Act exchange choices. She has been with us many times to help us understand the Affordable Care Act and how it affects you as individuals. So, hi, Elizabeth. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning, and thank you, Brian.
Mr. Schlosser, give us the current realities as you see them. Why is Oscar pulling out of New Jersey and shrinking its provider network in New York?
Yeah. Might help to take a bit of a step back first and say how we started the company, why we did that, and what the company is. So, we are an insurance company that wants our members to call us. We want to guide you very actively through the healthcare system. I started the company 4 years ago when my wife was pregnant with the first kids. I had no idea how I would find a good pediatrician, how much the pregnancy would cost me. I was confused by the so-called explanation of benefits, the cryptic statements you get from your insurance companies. And you ask the average person on the street, you ask yourself, who is your insurer? And the reaction it gets, people pulling their wallet out, looking at this ID cards full of, you know, garbled text and not really knowing who they should turn to in order to navigate the complex healthcare system. And so against those realities, we started Oscar. And those realities, I think, are much bigger than any which insurance markets. Over the past 4 years, what we mostly spent our time on is building technology, building products and user experiences to make sure the system gets simplified as an Oscar member.
What do you mean building technology, building user experiences? Yeah. Maybe people are thinking of Uber, which calls itself a technology company, not a transportation company. But people just want to be able to go to the doctor and get reimbursed or not have to pay out of pocket.
Exactly. Your kid, my kid, is crying at 3 a.m. in the morning. You know, what can I do? And under Oscar, I take out a mobile application, push a button, a doctor will call me back 24/7. A pediatrician, he can write a prescription. Our systems know where the prescription ought to go, which pharmacy it goes to. They alert you when the prescription is there. When you call us, when you chat with us, when you meet us in person, we always have the same 4 people in a member services team deal with you directly. It's your personal concierge team. They will get to know you, your health history incredibly well. They will know in real time when you ended up in the emergency room. They will reach out to you directly after, help you navigate what happens next. Those are all the things, the experience we gain.
So that's the kind of customer service that you offer, concierge service as you call it. But then why is Oscar pulling out of New Jersey and shrinking its provider network in New York?
Yeah, exactly. I think the most important thing to understand really is the insurance industry as we have it today wasn't really built around the individuals and the experience of you and me. It was built largely to satisfy HR departments and employers, which is why generally the statements you get are meant to be read by a computer or a person in the HR department, not by you individually. And so that is what, in our opinion, the ACA created as a huge opportunity for us. Finally, there was a market where individuals can actually choose and vote with their feet as to which insurance company they want to buy. Now, two things happened. One thing you mentioned, which is other insurance companies, in particular the big insurance companies, are pulling out of many, many markets. You know, if you look at our footprints, we decided to leave New Jersey, decided to leave one city in Texas, Dallas. We're remaining in other cities in Texas, and we're actually expanding into San Francisco. So our footprints, when Aetna reduces footprint by 90%, we are actually about the same for next year. We believe wholeheartedly in the fundamentals and the philosophy of the individual markets. I think in 10 years from now, everybody should be able to individually select health insurance. But so we cannot entirely ignore the fact that large insurers are moving out. In markets like Fort Worth, for example, there used to be seven insurers competing, finally competing, competition in this market, you know, driving value for the consumer. Now there's one left for the next year. That is in a situation where we, as a company that has to grow in a measured way, you know, we grew over the last three years now to 135,000 members. We want to keep growing in a measured way, is a reality we can't ignore. And the second thing...
So you have to cut your losses in places like New Jersey if you're spending more than you're taking in to a certain by a certain amount.
In a place like New Jersey where another co-op now recently was just taken into conservatorship by the states, we have to first and foremost also make sure that we don't just double, triple, quadruple overnight in terms of membership. You know, that is where we want to grow more measured. I think the other thing...
So you went to zero for the moment?
For the moment.
Elizabeth, what's the larger context here for people you advise in New York State? What will their Obamacare, and you only do New York, so I can't ask you specifically to address New Jersey, but what will their Obamacare options look like next year in price and quality compared with this year?
Well, I mean, I sort of have a different take than you do. Usually I'm quite in agreement with you, Brian, but I think it, you know, what the census data shows this week is that Obamacare is working, not that it's not working. So, for example, in New York, 3 years ago, we had 2.7 million uninsured. Now we have 1.38 million people. So, you know, nothing works overnight. I mean, I wish we could do something as big as complicated and have it, you know, work just like that. But I think we're, like, doing incredibly well. And in fact, the Journal of American Medical Association showed, you know, between 2010 and 2015, the uninsurance rate went from 16% to 9.1% in America. So that's the lowest rate of uninsured people ever. I mean, since they ever started even keeping these statistics. So, you know, I think it's working pretty good. I think the other thing that you need to remember, at least in New York, you know, we have a very strong young people enrollment. I think a lot of young people are coming to the marketplace in droves. The thing about young people is that they tend to have lower incomes because they're just starting out or they're not working at all. And so a lot of those young people are going into the public insurance products like Medicaid and Essential Plan and may not go into the more expensive, you know, relatively qualified health plans or, you know, being full pay qualified health plans, which are the, you know, commercial products on the exchange like Oscar. So when you look at the marketplace, I think the other thing that we really need to, when we're just focusing on the commercial plans, so we have to, you know, kind of say, okay, here there's a huge bunch of people getting in these Medicaid expansion states and in states like New York, which rolled out this thing called the Essential Plan, which is low-cost coverage for people below 200% of poverty or around $23,000 a year with only $20 per month premium. So that's pretty cheap. So we have two great kind of quasi, you know, either full public insurance product or what I would call or characterize a quasi-public insurance product. We have those great options that have really addressed affordability for New Yorkers. And then as you kind of march up the income level, you know, the Affordable Care Act is a progressive law, things start getting more expensive. And that's when you have a harder time attracting younger people because, you know, insurance is more expensive as you become more wealthy. So the wealthier younger people may not be joining and taking their chances. But I think there's a couple of other forces at play that we haven't seen really kick in. And that's one, I think a lot of people don't understand that almost everybody who goes to the marketplace is eligible for something. The vast majority are eligible for financial assistance or a tax credit of some kind or another, or actual full-on free care, and people don't know about that yet. And so we still have our work cut out for us in getting the word out about that. And then the other thing that's happening is at tax time, people are beginning to realize, uh-oh, there's a penalty, or I have to pay a fine if I don't actually join and have show that I have had health coverage throughout the year. So I don't think it's quite as negative as you would say, Brian. I think for, you know, carriers like Oscar have tried some really unique and innovative measures to try to attract people. One of the things that we really saw consumers loving about Oscar when they first rolled it out a couple of years ago was they offered higher deductible plans, which most people say, ew, but then they had a lot of pre-deductible services available to people, and people like well visits or sick visits, and that was really interesting and very attractive to a lot of people. The other thing that Oscar's done to try to save money is, of course, narrow its networks. And, you know, it, quite frankly, consumers are wary of narrowing networks and don't really understand the network situation in a lot of the plans. And, you know, I think the government is doing its level best to make, you know, searching by networks much easier. And that's, you know, a work in progress still.
So, Elizabeth, not to minimize at all the historic success of getting the number of uninsured people, the percentage of uninsured people in the United States down to these low levels. But if it's going to maintain and if it's going to grow to even more of the uninsured, you know, I've seen a few articles now that say because of the mismatch of input and output, you know, clients who need a lot of care versus clients who don't need a lot of care not buying in that much. I've seen a few articles now, like in the Times, that say Obamacare is becoming like Medicaid. Very narrow networks of doctors getting reduced payments compared to employer-based private health insurance, I should say employer-based private health insurance, because this is private too. And at the same time, the premiums are going to go up in some cases by, you know, quite large margins going into 2017. Is any of that wrong?
It kind of is. So, and let me tell you why I think it's wrong. And I was very discouraged by that article. Number one, like I said before, the vast majority of people that go to the marketplace are eligible for financial assistance. So they are, it's the way the marketplace works, you're insulated from insurance prices. So it's pegged at your, you know, level of poverty or your level of wealth, if you will. So it asks, you know, wealthier people to pay more than lower income people. So the vast majority, you know, I can't remember the exact number, 60-70% are eligible for some kind of a financial aid and are completely insulated from insurance carriers' price increases. So I think that's wrong. The other thing that I think was really discouraging about that article is this sort of characterization that the quote-unquote Obamacare plans aren't as good as commercial plans. And I think, you know, if you look at data, and if you look at data in New York State, when they do the quality indicators, in some cases the Medicaid plans, you know, which are supposedly not as good as commercial plans, actually have better quality indicators than some of the commercial plans. And so, you know, we don't yet know Oscar's quality ratings. I think they haven't been part of the quality rating pool. But some of the other commercial, the big name, you know, blue ribbon players actually don't do so well on some of their quality indicators and don't appear to be managing people
just,
as well.
Just before we let Ms. Schlosser back in here, what percentage do you expect premiums to go up for 2017 in New York State, Elizabeth?
I think the average is 17%.
17%?
Correct. On average.
That's
so some
a burden.
Are more than other.
Yeah.
And
except
that, and the reason for that is because, so the last thing, I'm sorry, Brian, there is actually a policy reason for that, and that's that the, you know, Congress is sort of letting the, there's a risk adjustment. This is like really wonky, but what's supposed to happen is the government is supposed to insulate the carriers from adverse selection big tranches of sick people
coming in.
So there's this whole risk adjustment process, which has been phased out.
From going out of business or pulling out, which many of them are finding it necessary to do. So they say, Mr. Schlosser from Oscar.
Brian, so 70% is a big increase. There's no question about this. Two things you should know about this. Number one, if you look at where premiums will be next, where then this year, there's still 20% where HHS thought 4 years ago they were going to be this year.
20% lower?
20% lower, yeah. Exactly. Excellent 20% point. Lower. And so clearly the exchanges have succeeded, as Liz was saying, in getting many, many people into health insurance who did not have a chance to get health insurance before. Clearly the exchanges and the fact that there's now a website run by the government, ironically enough, the government innovates in websites, where you can compare prices has led to price competitiveness in these plans. And the third thing, this is very, very important to understand, show me another health insurance plan where you push a button, doctor calls you back totally free, where you have this pre-deductible coverage that a little bit talking about that we introduced, where you have a concierge team. We have better services, more innovation, better features changing on a weekly basis than any other plan that you can get out there. What Obamacare did is to enable innovation in new models like this. And the final point to make here is our healthcare system is in trouble. A fifth of your income and of my income is paying for an insanely expensive healthcare system, twice as much as in my home country, Germany, where the care, frankly, is better. That's the underlying issue you have. And what we are now doing is, and others as well, who have now a chance to pitch to individuals who can like us or not like us and vote with their feet on that, we are now finally trying to do something about that, getting you better value for money. And a third of our members are coming in because of word of mouth. If that isn't working, I don't know what is. Tell me to then show where that's the case.
Mario Schlosser with us, CEO of Oscar Health Insurance, and Elizabeth Benjamin with us, Vice President for Health Initiatives at the advocacy group, the New York Community Service Society. She's also a navigator who helps individuals buy policies on the Obamacare exchanges. And listeners, we can take a few questions, your Obamacare questions and your Oscar-specific questions at 212-433-WNYC. And Nina in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Nina. Nina, are you there? Nina's listening to the radio and has a 7-second delay. I'm going to give her 5 more seconds. 5, 4. Nina, you there?
Yes, I sure am.
Hi, you're on the air.
Great.
Ignore your radio. Just listen to the phone.
Yep.
Nina. Go ahead.
Hi. Yes, I joined Oscar right at when it started. And up until now, I have found it absolutely on a par with Oxford and Blue Cross, you know, which have always been, I'm in New York, really the gold standards in insurance. But I have to say, I'm finding this conversation, the focus is all on generalities, premiums, and not on participation in who's in the HMO. And this sort of, you know, selling the new, you know, concierge services. It's nice to be able to call a doctor at 3 a.m. if you have a cold, but that's hardly what health insurance is really for. It's for really serious things. And I think for this conversation that we need to be really clear that Oscar, I don't know who's at fault. And I'd actually like for the CEO to really address this, and I'm not clear if there are non-disclosure issues or something, but what has happened this fall, because Oscar had a really very extensive list of participating hospitals. It is the only hospitals, come 2017, that will be participating are Mount Sinai in Manhattan, Montefiore, which is in the Bronx and insanely far. It's unrealistic.
Depending on where you live.
Yeah, depending for if you're in Manhattan or Brooklyn, it's great if you're in the Bronx, and someplace in Long Island. So basically, for, you know, those of us in the city area, you're what we now have is a Mount Sinai exclusive HMO, and that just, you know, I'm sorry, that doesn't cut it. It's serious.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
yeah,
Mr.
Nina,
Schlosser.
Absolutely. It's an absolutely valid question and a very good question to ask me, and I'm glad I can answer this directly here. This is how we think about this. Again, I started Oscar because I wanted a better healthcare experience for myself. I had two kids, my wife had two kids in the past 4 years, you know, so I'm very actively using the healthcare system. And I find myself over and over again just not knowing where to go in the system, what to do next, you know, who is really the highest quality physician to see. My son had to get his tonsils taken out, his adenoids, 6 months ago or so. And again, you know, who do I go and see who's the best person to do this in New York? What we said since the very beginning What we dreamed of was to find exactly the doctors, exactly the hospitals where we can find data and where we can build additional technology to make sure that we get you for whatever happens to you, not just the cold at night, but any kind of complex cancer situation, anything else, the best physician and the right physician to go to. And because we then have the right set of doctors
but
in the right
hospitals. That doesn't seem consistent with narrowing the network to become what Nina called basically a Mount Sinai HMO.
It is consistent if the doctors you then have in, if we understand them way better, if we have a much more direct link to them, if we have a much better ability of orchestrating and helping you orchestrate your care with the doctors who are in. And that's the partnership. It's not just a network anymore. The partnership we now have with Mount Sinai, for example, you know, that is where we see in real time when you, Nina, went to the emergency room for a complex issue, we can take over, work with Sinai to really make sure you get the best possible experience and the best possible care there. Sinai has the largest number of doctors on the New York Magazine Best Doctors list. You know, we will get you somebody and more quickly than with any other insurance company to go to.
But let me follow up both on the realities for patients, and we're getting a number of calls like Nina's, I should say. Mm-hmm. And how you are framing it. Like a friend of mine who has Oscar on the New York Exchange was pretty put off by the notice that you sent to customers, consistent with your cheery "Hi Oscar" slogan when delivering this bad news. The email was addressed team@hioscar.com. That's to the customers. Restates your goal of improving healthcare. Tells that same success story about your own kids and the tonsillitis, for example. And then tucked in there is, our new network will not contain every hospital or doctor we have today, but this is a good and necessary change. Nevertheless, there will be some healthcare critics entrenched in their views in an outdated system who will say we are only changing our network to improve our bottom line. Are you really selling less doctor choice as a good thing?
Take us up on that. If you are a member, and if you're a member next year at Oscar, look back at that year, compare to the service level you've gotten from us and from the physicians who you will go to and get service from, and then make that decision. You will have my commitments that this will be a better experience and that this will work better for you than the way it does. Here's the other reason in the U.S. Again, I want to come back to this as well. We have not talked enough about cost, in my opinion, either. In the New York healthcare system, the healthcare markets, I can get the same, let's say, colonoscopy or the same radiology procedure for a factor of 5 in difference. That is what's leading these crazy cost disparities that have nothing to do with quality. Many academic studies show it's no correlation.
In other words, by giving Mount Sinai and however much of its network you've contracted with exclusivity, you're getting procedures and patient care at a greatly reduced rate.
And that flows directly through to the member as well.
Exactly. And
that is the reality.
And Elizabeth, that's exactly the trade-off that Americans hope not to have to make, that to have affordable care, they have to have narrower and narrower choices in medicine. Are you even saying this is a good thing?
I think it's the reality that there's a consolidated – look, the first thing that we had to do was, you know, you have cost, quality, and access on a triangle when you're thinking about health policy. I learned this in health policy like when I went to college, right, my first health policy class. And it's a triangle. And those days they said you can only have two. Well, we as a country have decided to have all three. We've decided to have – you know, costs. I mean, you've decided to have everybody have access for the most part, although there's very important group of undocumented immigrants that have been left behind, and that's a problem. We need to address it. We have a, you know, high quality system, arguably, but we also have an expensive system. And I think, you know, with the Affordable Care Act, we're really trying to address the access issue. We're really on our way there. I think, you know, in some cases you can get people say we have the best quality healthcare system, but I think the cost quality nexus really has to be addressed. And, you know, what most health policy folks are now saying is that the way to do that is by really integrating and consolidating healthcare in the industry. And that's the reality of what's happening right now. And we see that happening through all the, you know, financing vehicles. And so even folks with job-based coverage, which, you know, would arguably be the gold standard, you're seeing networks tightening and shrinking. So it's a phenomena because that's one of the levers that insurance, commercial insurance, has to control costs in our really, really expensive healthcare system. Another thing we're seeing is hospital consolidations. I mean, we're down to five major, you know, the big five major networks in New York City: Montefiore System, the Mount Sinai System, the New York Presbyterian System, the NYU System, and the Health and Hospital System. Oh, and then the Northwell. So six, you know, major healthcare systems. And we used to have many, many more. We're seeing hospitals close in Brooklyn and Queens. That's really a travesty because folks now have to travel farther for health care. But it's just the nature of the beast. Until we really start having some hard conversations about health care costs in our delivery system, it's going to be a problem. And I want to say one thing. It's not, these costs are not being driven by overutilization by consumers. That's a myth. Our average length of stays in hospitals in amongst Americans is much lower than their European counterparts. It's really about other system drivers like the pharmaceutical costs, medical equipment costs, you know, the salary structure in the healthcare system in the United States is sort of disproportionate to all the other world, you know, nations, and you know, sort of, you know, European look-alike, arguably look-alike nations. So it's really complicated. So I'm sorry, that's a pretty long answer.
Well, it's still not going to satisfy people who feel that their choices are going down and down and down, and that's exactly what the rebellion against HMOs way back in the 90s was supposed to be against, and now everybody's saying, well, this is the only way to keep
because it was
under
poorly
control.
Because it was poorly done.
I think the rebellion was about getting the permission slip, right? I mean, I think the rebellion wasn't so much about the limitations of the networks, but that you had to have this gatekeeper that was saying no.
It was poorly executed. That is to me is very, very important. Yeah. Again, if the only choice to get costs down in this country, if the only choice had been to build networks around low cost and low quality doctors, that would be an issue. That's not what this is. This is a network around the premier academic medical center in the country and the best doctors in the city with a way better experience of actually getting to those doctors. What good are 40,000 doctors if you can't see any before 6 weeks from now? That's the reality of this country, and if half of them are overcharging you by crazy amounts. The HMO rebellion was because the member experience was a very, very poor one. Go on, Oscar. I would invite you to do that. Also experience, Nina, and this is back to you a little bit, experience what we are going to work through with you over the next few weeks. We are very actively working with members who are going to have to transition to other doctors, getting them into those doctors, advising them on their choices, making appointments for them. That is what we do, and that has never been done before.
Well, let me give you one more customer to talk to who I think has that specific problem. Monica in Red Hook, you're on WNYC. Hi, Monica.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So I want to say, first of all, with Oscar, from day one, everything that the CEO has mentioned in terms of customer service, software, access, understandability has been 100% spot on, and that's why we've loved Oscar. However, premiums went up last year, but the network expanded, so we went through with that, even though our deductible was also much higher. This year, with the narrowing of services and, I'm assuming, a premium increase, we're probably going to change. And I just want to say, as a small business person, I feel that there's an upfront investment. When you're dealing with millions of people who have been uninsured, the first few years are going to be more expensive because they're getting up to speed. They are bringing their health up to date. It's not going to be an ongoing expense at that level. I had a surgery last year that I needed, and it was amazing. I'm not going to need that again next year or the year after. And I think by narrowing your services, you're going to lose people who will be less expensive to insure in the long time.
You're planning to leave Oscar now because your doctor won't be included?
I don't know if my doctor's going to be included in the new change. I'm not sure. But I'm not necessarily wed to one doctor. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that it's going to be narrowing altogether, right, and the premium goes up and the deductible goes up.
Are you at least going to have the entire Mount Sinai network, including the real Mount Sinai, Mount Sinai doctors, not just the satellite ones?
No, and more doctors, of course. We have a very complex algorithm that goes by quality, by value for money, by cost, to find doctors who should be in the network and who we can connect to differently. We have photos of doctors you can select from. We know exactly who goes to the doctors. If I need a doctor who sees patients in his 30s, for example. I can find that through Oscar. We do that very actively. I want to say just briefly again, Monica, I think, was the name. Yes. I'd love to give you a call afterwards and talk you through this this directly. The service level you are going to get, not just from Oscar, but from the healthcare system we represent, is going to go up next year. Just as of next week, you'll be able to chat with your doctors. We've become the first insurer to actually pay doctors for chatting with you from your mobile phone, for example. Those are powerful things that will, I think, create a better experience for you. And I think you are absolutely right that there is upfront investments in members who now are getting insured for the first time. And Brian, I do think that one that makes me want to make one additional point. There has been a lack of care taken on the part of the government of how the Obamacare reform has worked. That is the other issue that's afflicted us and others. If you look at new insurance markets like Medicare Advantage, they took 5 or 6 years and, you know, tinkering, fixing of issues of the governments before they really start working. Now it's a fantastic choice, Medicare Advantage, you know, 5, 10 years later or so. The same will happen in Obamacare. We are working very actively with regulators on that. And we'll make this, and this will be the market, I think, mark my words, where in a few years from now, we're going to look back at this and say, finally created competition, innovation, the right models, and I also think more affordability and better systems.
And as we wrap this up, Elizabeth Benjamin from the Community Service Society, just in our last minute, what Mario Schlosser said there about the government, Hillary Clinton is proposing a public option to compete with Oscar and the others, or at least provide, you know, an alternative when the market seems to be failing a lot of people. What do you want to see as an advocate the next administration do, if they can, just in a minute or less?
In a minute or less, just I think the public option is a really interesting idea and should be explored. But in the meantime, open enrollment's coming up. People can start making their selections as of November 15th and come back to the marketplace. Come to a navigator. Shop around. There's lots of great options out there on the marketplace. We're really lucky in New York. We have lots of great carriers and lots of, you know, really great financial aid system. And, you know, there's something for everyone, essentially. So please come to the New York State of Health. Go to a local navigator, sit down and talk with somebody in person to make the right choice for you and your family.
And did we get Monica's contact info? Okay, good. So she's going to take you up on that, Mr. Schlosser. And we thank you very much.
Thank you so
much. Thank you.
Elizabeth Benjamin from the Community Service Society, Mario Schlosser, CEO of Oscar Health Insurance. Thank you.
Thank you.